Chapter 3. Hunger and Thirst. 1 Kings 12:25-33. 1 Kings 13:1-10. 1 Timothy 1:18. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-7. Jude 3. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Ussa put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. When the oxen stumbled with the ark on the cart, David had to stop and weep and inquire the cause. We must also do that. God's servants had failed in those days, for no Levite was brave enough to say to the king, "Sir, what you are doing is wrong and is contrary to the Lord's commandments." The Levites should have the charge of the ark and carry it on their shoulder, which is the due order of the Lord. Brother D. Samuel of the One by One Band asked Brother Dorai Raj and myself to help with follow-up work after Brother Bhakt Singh's first visit. One day he told me that a brother from Wellington was coming to help, and I went to meet him at the station, and that was Brother A.J. Flack. Later, Brother Goldsworthy also joined. They, Brother Flack and Brother Goldsworthy, were missionaries from England working under the Brethren's Assembly and were stationed at Konur. They never touched on the matter of separation but taught the word. We had a Bible study retreat in a rented house in Aminjikrai for some months. A hunger and thirst was created for the word of God, and there was a great revival of prayer. We began to cry out for more and prayed, "Lord, send thy servant Brother Bhakt Singh again." Then in 1940 Brother Bhakt Singh came from Konur for a few days. We had a procession on that Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. to which multitudes came. We started from LMS Church, and the first furlong consisted of children, and then about 2 furlongs of sisters and rest were men. There had been no organization of practice for it, but all moved as one. Brother Dorai Raj engaged an ambulance in case some might faint by the way, but it was not needed. The song, "Hallelujah Yesuve," was sung all over Madras that day. The Spirit of God worked mightily, and the city came together even though there was no advertising. The work of God went on without publication. God chose a man, and the city flocked to hear him, and in the day of God's power, the people were willing. Psalms 110:3. Brother Moses Don came from Coimbatore and was much used to put the messages into songs, and he went off with Brother Bhakt Singh to Punjab. After these days, came a dearth of preachers and we began to weep for leaders. There was one Brother Andrews, a good Christian, who reprimanded me for smoking. He started the Madras Bible League, but said it must keep off controversial subjects like baptism. Consequently, the Bible League remained just where it was in those days, and it did not spread. But the Gospel League, which remained open for the whole counsel of God, led on to this assembly, now meeting in Jehovah Shammah. Compromise brings limitation. And from the assembly in Jehovah Shammah, the work has now spread all over India, which is the most fruitful method. During those early days, I visited the editor of the Madras Mail to publish a protest against their article supporting the Archbishop of Canterbury's report. The editor looked at me and said, "Do you suppose you are greater than the Archbishop of Canterbury?" Then Brother Bhakt Singh came again for 3 months in 1940 and was mightily used, especially one message on the text, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" He preached for 2 hours against the worldly system of churches that had crept in, and dealt with it, step by step. The Lord gave light to many of us at that time. Brother Bhakt Singh preached from church to church, and insisted that all who took any active parts in spiritual things should be born again, even those who help in the singing. People were afraid of him. We went to a house for a dinner once, and Brother Bhakt Singh criticized the pictures on the wall as being unsuitable for a Christian home. He asked the owner to remove them. The owner said, "I won't, you are only invited for the dinner, and not to find fault in my house." So, all had to get up and leave the house immediately without eating anything in that house. All the copies of the Bible were sold out in Madras. It was a Bible revival. For 3 months, night and morning the people met to study the word. The emphasis was on 1. Prayer, 2. Bible reading and 3. Singing, new songs. Brother Moses did a great work in those days putting all the messages into songs. We learned that the servant of God must take the uncompromising attitude regarding obedience to the Word of God. I was once the secretary for the Ruslite magazine for the whole of South India, because I was taken up by their plan of ages. But I learned what they say of Jesus Christ and left them. One deaf and dumb boy from Moormarket, later christened as Bartholomew, was miraculously healed, but he was later taken to America by a missionary, and he was exploited and ruined there. All were looking for a leader in those days, and only one preached about separation. He was Pastor Alvin of Ceylon Pentecostal Mission. He took away hundreds of believers to join him those days. Mr. Hanley Bird of the Brethren's Assembly preached the word faithfully in Madras at that time, but kept the Hindus exclusive. Otherwise, this might have been the biggest Brethren Assembly by now. A time of great barrenness followed, and many of us returned to our denominations just because of lack of leadership. I went to Tucker Church, Brother Dorai Raj to St. Paul's Church, and Brother Deva Sagayam to the Lutheran Church. We suffered this way for months without a leader. The Lord walked to Calvary alone and said, "Follow thou me." Then after 1940 came another tragedy. The oxen stumbled for us even in 1940. How easily man can make the religion of God of none effect. The CSI. And the denominations have a false altar, and we must cry against it. A watchdog is useless if it does not bark. "Their blood will I require at your hands," is the word of Ezekiel 33:8. Also, 1 Corinthians 14:8. "For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" In 1940, all Madras was moving together under the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole city was flocking to hear one man. There was huge expenditure of money and strength, but the people were willing in the day of his power, as in Psalms 110:3. One day, hundreds were seated in a compound listening to the message, and heavy rain came. Brother Bhakt Singh said, "Don't move, please," and the people sat quietly with rivulets of water running underneath them. Though they were soaked to the skin, they went on listening to the Word of God. Every Saturday we had processions to which all pastors and their congregations came, and hundreds were converted, but what was the result? The servant of God left, and vultures descended and took away the people. What is the use of being a good Samaritan if you leave the man with his wounds dressed only to be devoured by the wild beasts of the wilderness? Without the inn, what use would the help have been? Brother D. Samuel only had half the truth and could not lead us past new birth. So, the Seventh-day Adventist mission took off some, and the Pentecostals took many. Many not joining any fellowship turned to the way of bondage. If you can't carry the people right through, there is much danger to the flock, which is the result of knowing only half the truth. Salvation is not finished until we enter Canaan. There is preparation involved in separation. The Passover feast had to be eaten with loins girt, ready to depart. How can I bring the Ark of God home to me is the burning question. It can only be done through separation. The Ark must not remain in outer court of the tabernacle. Its place is between the cherubim in the most holy place, where God dwells. "There I will meet with you, and there I will speak with you," said God. This was his pattern. Nowadays the servants of God are satisfied to bring the ark only till the brazen altar. They preach only repentance and remission of sins. This is why the world has no answer to its problems. There was no artificial light in the most holy place, only the light of God's presence. The ark in its right place resulted in the glory of God filling the house. The people journeyed, and God went with them and consolidated them into one people, and then said, "Now the wilderness journey is over, you must fight and possess the land." Deuteronomy 1:7-8. But some were quite satisfied with the wilderness, and wandered round and round until they perished. This is still the end today if people will not obey the voice of God. We were left on the road to Jericho unattended in 1940. There was more weeping. When Brother Bhakt Singh left Madras after his 1940 campaign, there was no place in Central Station, and to get to his carriage in time, he had to be carried through the crowd on the shoulders of two brothers. The express was detained because of this great crowd. But Brother Bhakt Singh himself had not learnt in those years the necessity of separation. Only the Ceylon Pentecostals taught it then. So, within 6 months everyone was again lulled to sleep. The morning prayers and Bible study all stopped. Then the oxen stumbled. Although in 1941 this was followed by the joy of 1 Chronicles 15:25-26. But that was quite a different joy. Though in 1940 we still had the words, "Why seek ye the living among the dead," ringing in our ears, we returned in dejection to our respective denominations for want of something better. We did not know how to bring the Ark of God to its place. Brother Dorai Raj and Brother Rajaratnam now went back to St. Andrew's Church, and I went sometimes to Tucker Church and sometime to Andrew's Church. We cried to God, but His servants had failed Him in those days. Even Brother Flack and Brother Goldsworthy did not preach separation at that time. Perhaps it was not God's time then, we did not know. Then suddenly in 1941 a telegram came from Brother Bhakt Singh that he would be in Madras for 1 day on his way to Ooty. We quickly decided to arrange at least meeting for that day. 13th May, 1941. We confidently asked for the Andrew Church compound in Avdhanam Papir Road, but we met with a firm refusal. We were astonished at that because everyone had cooperated before. But now we heard that at the Indian Ministers' Conference, it had been decided to shut Brother Bhakt Singh out of the churches because he had criticized church authorities and baptized a Hindu convert, Sister Mary, and one or two more during his previous visit. We are told that he is not an ordained man and therefore has no right to baptize. This news of his being shut out of the churches was great shock to us, and we challenged the one who told us this to point out his objection from the Bible, but he replied it is the order of the church. To which we answered, but we want the order of the Bible. We wanted to get out of the churches then and there. But where to go was the burning issue. We had a great strife among ourselves about this. Also, a threatening letter was circulated to all church members under note, who will marry you and who will bury you. It was a serious matter to us. I blamed Brother Dorai Raj for holding me back, and he blamed me for wanting to act hastily. We went to our homes very upset and despondent. Brother George Rajaratnam sat silently as we two quarrelled, but very early morning before I was up, he was at my house with a letter of resignation for us all to sign. We decided, signed and gave it in step, but we said we will not come back unless you replace the order of men for God's order, but this he would not and could not do. This happened on 12th May, the day before Brother Bhakt Singh arrived.